So this morning we're going to start in Psalm 73, and we're going to just take excerpts of it that trace the flow of the psalm so that we kind of get the whole development of what the author is saying. Psalm 73. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. That's actually kind of a title over the rest of the psalm. That's a synopsis of what the entire psalm is going to do. And then he gets into the details. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. They say, "How can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge?" This is what the wicked are like. Always carefree, they increase in wealth. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. If I had said, "I will speak thus," I would have betrayed your children. He's torn in two directions. He sees this, he can't argue with what he sees around him, but he also knows that he can't just accept that. He's torn inside. When he says, "So when I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So in this psalm, the author's looking around at life, and he notices, as I'm sure you all have, that often the liars and cheats, the dishonest, greedy, and selfish, the ones who are willing to do whatever it takes to take care of number one, the ones who are willing to step on others, sometimes they do pretty well for themselves. And just as often, those who are careful to do what is right, just, and fair seem to do so to their own hurt. The writer of the psalm sees all of this and falls into a funk. Dwelling on the success of the ungodly, probably alongside of his own difficulties, he becomes bitter, with a mixture of both self-righteousness and self-pity that's as illogical as it is very familiar. And the writer of the psalm, most likely, almost certainly, was a Levite whose work had him leading musical prayers and praises in either the temple or the tents that housed the Ark of the Covenant before the temple. And so his daily work brings him into God's presence. And when he entered into God's presence, he immediately saw things differently. What was so plain in front of him that he couldn't get away from it, even though he desperately wanted to believe something else, when he entered God's presence, it all looks completely different. He writes, "When I tried to understand all of this, it was oppressive to me till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood. When he just grappled with what he saw in his own thoughts, it was confusing. And he could not sort it out. Not just confusing in the sense that somebody's explaining how space-time can fold with gravity and all of that. You know, go, oh yeah, I don't get that. But confusing in the way that you look at just the realities of life and it tears you apart inside. When you can't make sense of yourself and what you're feeling and what you see and what you want and yet what you know. He's confused and he can't sort it out. Instead of being able to unravel the confusion he sees in front of him, the confusion drags him down into the tangle. He gets tied in knots. But when he entered into the sanctuary and he stood in the presence of God, the confusion itself just unraveled. The turbulence of his own thoughts and his feelings, his emotions, and the thing inside him that's just rebelling, just falls into line. All those ducks just sort themselves right out. And things just make sense again. Another psalm says, "In your light, we see light." In the presence of God, things become clear. Things make sense the closer you are to God. And I think the psalmist is describing something that I have experienced, and I expect that many of you have too. All of this is much less clear-cut and specific than the other things that we've talked about in this series on the voice of God, things like that, what we call the inner voice, or the dreams and visions that we talked about. And so it's hard to know just exactly what to call this or how to talk about it, but I would like to use the term simply clarity in prayer. And I think that that clarity in prayer, or just the larger principle that things make sense when you enter into the presence of God, is another way that God speaks to us directly and personally as individuals. The simplest and most common way that this happens is when we're praying for another person. We often begin not really knowing how to pray for them. Familiar experience? When your heart breaks over somebody and you desperately want God to bless them, but you honestly don't know what to pray for them or how to pray for them. You see conflicting things going on in them. You want them to be taken care of, but at the same time, you know, is that good for them? Sometimes we just don't know how to pray for anyone. Now, has anyone experienced when you're in that position, so you just go into God, you just go into God's presence, you get on your knees, you go into the closet, whatever it is that works for you, and you say, Lord, bless this person. And as you start to pray for them, as you stand before God with that person on your shoulders, on your heart, he leads you. And you begin to understand how to pray for them. You begin by simply affirming God's goodness and his faithfulness and our willingness to trust him no matter what he'll do for that person. And we sometimes find that the way to pray for them unfolds before the presence of God by the Holy Spirit as we stand in his presence. Because as we stand in the presence of God by the Holy Spirit, and that's something that you should just understand and settle, when you turn your thoughts to speak to God, the Holy Spirit that dwells within you brings you into the very presence of God. And sometimes you get an inkling of what that feels like, and sometimes you don't. But it's true nonetheless. And when you stand in the presence of God, he leads you. He gives you the clarity. He shows you how to pray. We see more clearly, as we stand before God, what God desires to do for the person and with the person. And we see more clearly that that is what is good. And I believe that this is one of the ways that God speaks to us. Many times people have told me about going to God in prayer and there finding peace about something that was causing ceaseless worry, right? Or finding comfort where there was pain. Finding humility where there was outrage. I have had myself completely tied in knots over some personal interaction that I couldn't understand. Right? Maybe I thought I was saying the most reasonable thing in the world and the other person is just outraged. But you're left just tied up. And then suddenly, when you turn to the Lord and you take that half a minute, a minute, just to enter into His presence, you begin to see the whole episode in a completely different light, where it just makes sense. And in my experience, more often than not, then I'm ready to go apologize. In what you could almost call the opposite experience, I remember once years ago wanting to pray about something. I think, this is a little bit fuzzy what the specifics were, but I think it was for a specific outcome in a situation that somebody else was facing. And as I knelt in prayer, you know, and was formulating the thought, you know, how to say it, how to express it, I couldn't do it. You know, it's like just the wording was wrong. So I kind of cast around for a kind of a different way to phrase it. And I couldn't say that either. And I tried to kind of phrase it another way, you know, kind of latch it onto a different piece or whatever. And I couldn't do it. There was a check. There was a Holy Spirit restraint that was saying no. The words were there, but for some reason, I couldn't pray them. And finally, after fighting for I don't know how long, trying to rephrase this request, this idea, how many different ways, I finally understood that God was speaking to me. Very gently, but very firmly and very clearly, that the whole direction of the request, the whole idea, was not His will. And it was not pleasing to Him. And I recognized that, and I yielded my will. I let go of it. I understood. I said, okay, I get it. And I dropped it. And immediately, I was free to pray. To pray that God would deal with the person and the situation as He saw fit. God spoke to me through what I was able or not able to think through clearly while in His presence. The borderline between in prayer and not in prayer can actually somewhat be sometimes a little hard to nail down, right? So sometimes there's questions, you know, you're kneeling beside your bed, you're focused, you're talking to God out loud, you know, you're clearly in prayer. There are other times when you're clearly not in prayer. But a lot of times, you know, while you're driving and you're trying to pray and you're kind of slipping in and out of it, well, there's lots of times when it's hard to really actually nail down. Are we in prayer? Are we not? Are we in God's presence? Are we not in God's presence, right? And so here I include experiences when thought is so clear and so easy and so comprehensive that you finally conclude that it wasn't just creativity or the brain juices flowing well, but that, in fact, God has been speaking to you. This entire series on the voice of God, including all the topics, how you divide them up, how you approach them, and what to emphasize in each, right? The whole series here came to me all at once like a big ready-made package. It was back in the spring while we were still in the long series through Romans, and I was out for a run in the morning. And at the start of the run, I was praying. I don't often pray a whole lot when I run. I run into other Christian runners who say, oh, yeah, I love it. I go out for a run, and I pray the whole time. And I'm kind of thinking, I'm a bad Christian. But it just, it doesn't, I don't focus well when I'm running. My thoughts wander way, way, way too much. But this time, as we're at the start of the run, I was praying a little bit about where to go after finishing Romans. And much later in the run, because immediately my thoughts wandered off into other areas, on my way back home, I had the thought of preaching on the ways that God speaks to us. And it was like a dam broke. It was immediately, within minutes, I had the whole series, including all the different topics, basically how I would approach each topic, down to specific examples to use. I mean, it was just literally in a couple of minutes, whoosh. And you guys may all think that that's how it always works, but let me tell you, it does not work that way. Okay? And as this was all coming, I actually remember expecting any minute for my mind to wander off onto some other topic. Because I know that that's how my thoughts go, especially when I'm out running. Right? And they didn't. I kept thinking, okay, well, yeah, okay, good, good, yeah, I got it. Now my brain's going to go somewhere else. And there would be this whole other thing that would open up. And I think, okay, yeah, now it's going to be something else. Oh, look at that mailbox. Woo, and then a whole other thing opens up. Okay? But it was just like the thoughts were on these rails and just kept rolling. And then anyone is absolutely welcome to disagree with me because my experience is my experience. But I know how my thoughts usually work, and I know that this was completely different when I'm simply thinking well. This was different than when I'm being creative. This is different than when I'm in the study and things are being productive. And I concluded at the time, and this is where anybody's welcome to disagree with me, I concluded that God was speaking to me and that he was answering where to go next following the Roman series and how to do it. And after that morning run, several times I second-guessed myself. As I started to actually work on the series, several times I was like, you know what, this is just, people aren't going to like this, this isn't going to be good, this doesn't make any sense, and I'm really out on a limb here, but it was specifically the way that it all came to me that I couldn't get away from and kept me thinking that, no, I got to do this. It wasn't about whether I wanted to go through with the series, it was about whether or not I would obey. Of the different ways that God speaks to us personally that we've looked at in this series, this is the hardest one to pinpoint. And it's probably the one that we're least likely to notice. And so least likely to talk about as God speaking to us. This is the one that's the least of a special supernatural experience. So it's the easiest one to miss or to pass over as just your own thought. But again, as I've been saying all through this series, I think that this really happens. And because we're likely to miss it, I think this probably happens more frequently than we realize. And I hope that by talking about it and noticing it, we become more likely to take seriously the idea that God can and will be with our thoughts when we are near to him, especially in prayer, and appreciate that God is with us and speaks into our confusion when we need him to. That we think differently, as the psalmist thought differently, when we draw closer to God. And that that is God speaking to us. Now, does this mean that every thought that comes to us in prayer is from God? Absolutely not, right? And when you state that question clearly, it becomes clear that the answer is of course not. But unless you actually ask that question, you could easily be tempted to think that whatever comes to you in prayer is from God. So that's absolutely not the case. For every encouraging story along these lines, I am sure that there is another story of something awful that someone did because the thought came to him or her while praying or reading the Bible. And I'm sure that many of you have heard many of those kinds of stories. As I've said each week, whether something is from God or not has nothing to do with the method by which it comes. There's nothing special about dreams or what you think while you're in prayer or reading the Bible as a sometimes. There's nothing special about that idea that hits you when you're reading the Bible. There's nothing about any of these methods. My sheep know my voice means that we recognize the presence and the personality of God Himself, not the method by which we think we might be hearing from Him. With all of these ways that God might speak to us, the umpire is still the clearly revealed mind of God as we have it written in Scripture. The Scriptures that have been held in common since the earliest days of the church. Personal communication to you as an individual is always subordinate to the universal communication to the church at large. We recognize God's presence as we know Him. And the methods are not special. Also, when you recognize that the unusual clarity and accuracy of your thought hints at God speaking to you, does it mean that all of the details are part of what God is speaking? And again, I would say no. With this experience, more than the others that we've looked at, the experience of what goes through your mind is much more of a partnered cooperation between your thought and what God is speaking into your thought. So it is much trickier to nail it down as God said. While I believe that God spoke to me about preaching this series, I wouldn't dream of trying to blow off any mistakes or bad choices or criticism of how I've handled the topics or whatever that I've made in preparing and delivering them. If I've said anything that someone disagrees with, I can't simply say, well, God gave it to me, so you go take it up with Him. I believe that this all began with God speaking to me, but that doesn't make it as simple as simply taking dictation and then reading it off. I believe it began with Him and that I'm attempting to be obedient to Him, but in my obedience, my attempt at obedience, I have to take responsibility for my involvement in all of the imperfection that I bring to what God was trying to tell me. And again, I'm not speaking about my experience in this series. I'm speaking about the principle that even when God is clearly leading your thoughts, there's still a lot of your thought there. And you can cling dearly to the main idea and the conviction that God was speaking to you, and still hold the details very loosely, understanding that it's a lot of mixture. Because you were thinking along together with God. So again, what do I hope people take away from this series? Well, first of all, that God really does speak to us directly and personally. And for some people here, that's like, yeah, why do we even have to say that? That's obvious. For other people here, that's like, boy, that goes against everything I've ever been taught. Okay? He does. And it's more common than some people think. We should not be afraid to share with others the stories that have been encouraging or edifying for us. The content of what God spoke to you might not be applicable to the other person. But the fact that God is near and gets involved, that's going to be meaningful. Second, God is in control of when and how He speaks to you. You cannot force Him to speak. when you want to hear from him. Has anyone ever tried to do that? Over and over and over. Those of you who are not raising your hands, I don't believe you. We don't force him to speak. We can't put ourselves in such a position that suddenly we hear his voice. This is utterly out of our control. You're dealing with a king. You're dealing with far more than a king. And so there's no point in seeking any of these special experiences. There's no point in trying to seek some experience that somebody else has had. God knows what you need. And he will be there when you need him in the way that you need. And most importantly, the blessing that people experience when God speaks, whether it's through that inner voice, whether it's through a dream or a verse that explodes through your head as you're reading, or when confusing thoughts just become clear when you stand before God in prayer. Whatever the experience, the blessing is the blessing of God's presence, not the thrill of some experience. When we hear about something unusual happening to someone, and they've clearly had a thrill, right? Because it can be thrilling. We naturally associate the thrill with the experience. But here, that's not the case. Because the experience was not where the blessing was. The blessing is from the presence of God, regardless of what unusual experience happens or doesn't happen. And while seeking the supernatural experience does not bring the presence of God, and so does not bring any thrill or blessing or satisfaction, the presence of God can always be sought and always be enjoyed whether or not it is accompanied by any unusual experience. Do not bother seeking to hear the voice. We do not seek the experience of the voice of God. We pursue God himself in his word, in prayer, in obedience, in worship. But at the same time, my sheep know my voice. So as you get to know him, as you begin to recognize his presence more quickly and more surely, you will find him speaking all over the place. And how unusual the experience is will really mean absolutely nothing. Amen.